Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian, Insight number 27. And it's me, Steve Litchfield in Reading.
Me, Rafe Blanford in Sussex.
And me, Ewan Spence in Edinburgh.
And Rafe and Ewan have been most of this week, given the gig, if you include train journeys, plane flights, etc., in Barcelona for the S60 summit. We're going to be talking a bit about that, but first a few items of brief news. If you haven't been spotting it on the front page of the site, there's new firmware out for the North American N95s, both of them, both really decent updates, and there's minor updates for the Nokia E61i and the E51. And I'm also expecting new firmware in the next week or so for the E90, which has had a rather buggy release last week, and I think the new one's about to follow on. And at some point, we're expecting new major firmware for things like the Nokia N93 and N93i to bring them into the N-Gage fold. So the Nokia software update is a pretty exciting place to watch over the next month, I'd say. There's also some excitement in terms of device launches, but we maybe come to that a bit later on in the podcast. I'd like to start off with the SC60 Summit, which is a pretty a major event, certainly in the Nokia world anyway. Rafe, do you want to start? What was the highlight of the summit for you?
Well, it's always difficult to pick out one highlight from the summit, but I think for me it was the focus on web technologies as a way of driving innovation in the future S60. And it is easy to be sceptical about this, but you know what each S60 summit tries to do is highlight a particular area. And although there was there's a lot of general discussion as well, quite a lot came up was about how the web can be a platform for applications in the future of S60 and how it will drive, sort of, I would say, different types of applications than perhaps we're traditionally used to seeing. And a lot of this is, of course, around the web runtime. And as you may remember, at Web 2.0, the sort of next version of web runtime that integrates with the phone in a more full way. So, for example, web runtime can access the camera or the GPS, the contacts database, and other aspects of the phone like that, and that's all done through JavaScript calls. And actually, we've got a podcast coming up later in the week where we talk to Ganesh Silverman, who's basically the S60 guy in charge of all this marketing of this web technology, so you'll get some more details then. But what I want to talk about now is how at the summit there was the emphasis on how this would help drive innovation forward, but it would also change the sort of economics of development, because it's much easier to create an application that's just based on web technology. It's HTML, CSS, JavaScript, etc., etc. And what we'll see is, rather than, as we have with web runtime at the moment, which is basically an icon on the phone leading to a web page, because you can mash up, as it's referred to, services in the phone with web services, you'll lead to richer applications. And you know, there's been some examples we've already talked about on a previous All About Symbian Insight, but there seemed to be a lot of buzz around this area, and there's a potential, you know, sort of new avenue for applications. So, you know, and a way for actually applications to be smarter in terms of, you know, that big buzzword with that we've seen in the last year, context awareness. So hearing more about that was a definite highlight for me. But also what was interesting, there was a definite emphasis also on, you know, just a shading of the future on how a user experience needs to be improved, and how this is the focus to really take S60 to the mass market, and how this has to be done at all levels, both at the OS level, and David Wood from Symbian talked about that, and maybe we'll come back to that. But it was also talked about at the platform level and the application level. And I think the most interesting point about this was, you know, if you look at the product lifecycle model that, you know, you see all over the web in regards to all sorts of products, you know, S60 still very much sees itself in the early stages. And in order to get into that, the big middle hump, they're going to have to improve user experience, and they're quite aware of that. And there's all sorts of things being thought about. And of course, you know, the touch and the sensor platform is part of that. But it's also about, you know, future versions of S60 will look to build in more intelligence into the software, so that rather than the software asking the user all the time what to do, the device will know certain things based on either learned experiences or, you know, just smarter programming, and will make decisions for you. And I think, you know, when we're talking about very rich multifunction devices, particularly at the high end, that sort of thing is going to become more and more necessary. So that's a very quick summary. We'll perhaps come back to some more specific topics later in the podcast.
Yeah, your mention of intelligent software, that really caught my eye in your brief live updates on the front page. For example, things like the smartphone not saying connect to access point, and it having to ask you every single time, but going through a bit of own priorities. When you're submitting forms on the internet and leaving secure pages, it shouldn't keep bothering you, asking you to acknowledge that fact. Once people have got the hang of the fact that you don't want to be bothered with that particular notice, it should stop bothering you. And there's all sorts of other examples, as you say, ways they can streamline the whole user experience.
Yeah. I'll just come back very briefly on that, Stephen. You're absolutely right. And actually, you know, the access point is obviously a big bugbear on S60 at the moment. But it's possible, you know, and we've seen how on other platforms, you know, the iPhone is often referred to in this context, how it is possible to, you know, have something that switches automatically or makes an intelligent choice. But they're thinking about the next stage, and Symbian Free Play is basically what that's all about. And so it's all of this is the IP subsystem which controls the connectivity. And rather than just making an intelligent choice at all, it'll also switch seamlessly, so you won't realize that you're switched from 3G to Wi-Fi to WiMAX, and it's not even with some devices it will have to reconnect the access point, but it won't even be doing that. It's a much more advanced system, and you know, David Wood in his presentation referred to this as basically building complexity into the OS. So something that's apparently very simple as far as the user and to an extent the platform is concerned is just being done automatically via the OS. And I'm certainly a big believer in that. And you know, that's also referring to some of the things in the hardware platform. For example, symmetric multiprocessing, which again we've talked about, but you know, there were some more real world examples being given. And that's basically going to be the way that power management is solved in the future. As you get more complex devices, obviously you use more processing power at peak times. But if, you know, that's only 10% of their usage time. If the other 90% you can switch off the cores that are not being used, you obviously dramatically use battery time. Again, it's that kind of complexity being sorted out at the OS and the platform level, which gives the user a much more pleasant user experience overall, and as Nokia term it, it's delighting the user. But what's really encouraging is it's being thought about at all levels in a very intelligent way. And I was also, you know, glad to see David Wood refer to something called the Tiger Team, which is basically when Symbian and S60 and software engineers work together to solve specific problems. And one he highlighted that I know we've talked about in the past is when you're deleting images in gallery, if you delete multiple images at the moment, it takes quite a long time. I think he used a benchmark of 9 seconds, and they've been working on optimizing why it did that and have cut the time down to 1 second. So presumably that's something we'll see in future releases of S60. And also talking about how things were being backported in order to optimize performance in specific areas. And demand paging is the obvious example of that. But there's another 32 areas that they're working on, in addition to just the few that have come out now. So there's a lot more to come in that area. And, you know, hearing that kind of detail, it's very interesting to see the way the platform and the hardware is all being worked on together. And I think promises much for the future.
I get, it annoys me when other people in other walks of the computing world, they talk about, oh yes, knocking up a phone OS and mobile Linux this and Android that. And I'm sure these guys have got a chance, but the sheer amount of work that Symbian are putting in and the complexities of things like handing over between 3G and WiMAX and Wi-Fi seamlessly at the OS level, there's an awful lot there that other mobile operating system makers have got to learn from and have yet got to scale to match Symbian, in my opinion. And that's why I think S60 should stay on top of Symbian for some time to come. But you've been very quiet over there. What was your highlight, and would you like to chat about anything on the summit in particular?
Yeah, I think the main one was the confidence that Nokia have. This previous summits and other conferences have always started off with Nokia almost justifying themselves to Series 60. You know, the smartphone market will be huge. We can capture a certain percentage of this many devices and economies of scale. There was none of that here. It was taken as read by Nokia, by other handset manufacturers, by operators, by developers, that Series 60 is there, it works. It's that early adopter stage is over. We've done the norming, we've done the forming, we're now in that building up stage. And, you know, there wasn't big news. I mean, we did have, we had big news from Samsung, and we had the launch both of their developer forum and of the 870 handset, which was very, very nice device, and Samsung are certainly making a strong commitment to Series 60. But the simple fact that everything just works, and that, you know, it's taken as read that what we have now is the operating system and the interface on top of it that's going to go forward. Now, there are going to be people that will argue that, well, maybe it should be UIQ, well, maybe it will be Apple with every developer thing, but the point is that Nokia have this big, huge roadmap. They have it with their partners. We've already talked, Rafe brought that up with the Tiger team within Symbian, and it would not surprise me if there are Tiger teams from Nokia going out to every single operator. I mean, two of the operators there had very strong demonstrations of what they could do with the Series 60 technology. And I think Rafe spent a lot of time with the Telefonica guys on that exact issue.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's a good example of how, you know, S60 is now regarded as a mature platform and a choice for operators. Telefonica was doing some stuff in that respect, but the one that particularly caught my eye, I think, it was Telefonica, just looking back at my notes here. They're using Web Runtime to do what they refer to as the Web 2.0 suite, which is basically a way of giving a one-click access to a whole variety of their web services from the phone. And they talked about how it basically allowed things to be speeded up a tremendous amount, because they could deploy it to multiple handsets very easily, but it was also usable on other handsets because it's basically just web code and usable on their desktop offerings as well on their website. And it was that kind of acceptance that basically S60 is a mature platform, and it's now not about whether it will be used, it's about how we can make the most of the technology available on it.
Yep,
we also had Telecom Italia Mobile that were also using the Web Runtime, and specifically the widgets that were coming off of that, showing how they could brand the S60 handset themselves. And also, of course, this allowed them to push widgets onto the customer as well as what the customer wanted to put on the handset itself. And this Web Runtime, this scape of widgets, I mean, to the end user, they're still programs, but they actually create a much more common platform in the web browser. And it was certainly noted that Nokia really wanted to talk about the web as a platform rather than, say, low-level C++, the adoption of OpenC, or even the implications of Trolltech and Qt coming in as a development layer as well.
Although I think there was quite a strong emphasis on what Qt would do, but there is something of a realization that it's not going to happen immediately because the integration is going to take a while. But what Qt will be delivering is a cross-platform developer environment, and there's actually quite a bit of emphasis on that and how the web can do that as well. But Qt will obviously is a graphics library in one sense, and I suspect it will end up being paired with the likes of OpenC and OpenC++. It hasn't been finalized, but there was interesting presentation by the CTO of Trolltech, who talked about how, again, it was about how software needed to be more intelligent, and it wasn't necessarily about adding features that the user would be able to discover. It was about being able to make sure that users could be aware of the features. So rather than users going looking for things, the application should present functionality to the user in an intelligent way. You know, it should know when a user is doing something and ask, do you want to do this? And although, you know, immediately it brings to mind the sort of Microsoft Clippy from Office, you know, there are quite different ways they were thinking about doing this, and it's things like, you know, context sensitivity in terms of location. And, you know, this is the future. They were saying that this is the future of software development, and particularly with the cross-platform thing. You know, I think what we'll see is Qt obviously being ported to S60, but also be on Series 40, presumably also on MAMO, but also on the PC desktop in both the Windows, presumably the Apple and the Linux world as well, which will enable in the future Nokia to deliver suites of software where there's an awful lot of common code, and obviously that has great implications for the cost of development and the time to market. And so in the background there was this sort of realization that you couldn't regard S60 in isolation anymore. S60 is joining a number of platforms that people will use. The web is one, you know, the PC is another, and all of those are going to be interacting with each other. You know, you're not just going to use the phone in isolation, you'll use the web. Some people use a PC, and obviously that will vary between markets. But the same services and software and abilities have to run across all of those platforms, because inevitably people are using different devices at different times. You know, mobile is best when you're mobile, but often it's going to be easier to use a PC. But in order to get the most out of all of those devices, you need the sort of the services and the software running across all the platforms. And so there was a lot of talk about how you could engineer the development environments to basically achieve that cross-platform richness. And I think Adobe had a very good seminar on this when they talked about their open screen project, and an example of this was the FineTunes music service, which was originally developed for the web. It's basically a search and recommendation engine for music, but it doesn't really make much sense on the web, and so they developed it in Adobe Air for the desktop, and they thought, well, actually this would work really well on the mobile, so they developed it in Flash Lite, and it works across all these three platforms. But there's quite a lot of work involved in that, so this is why Adobe started talking about the open screen project and how it would allow much easier cross-platform development. And one of the things that was interesting from that was Adobe actually said, increasingly we think we'll see people starting to think about doing things first on mobile and only later going to the web and to the PC, because the mobile is going to be the biggest market of all.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. The move to the web as a platform is just obviously embracing all aspects of computing, on the mobile, desktop, and the corporate environment. It's if you think how far we've come, it amazes me that sort of 10 years ago I was fanatically backing up every data file, every bit of information about myself and what I was doing, and it was a whole culture of paranoia. And now virtually everything I do is in the cloud. It's on the web, whether I'm working on the mobile or on the desktop. And all of a sudden it sets you free in a way, and I'm sure everyone else realizes this as well. And it opens up new ways of working. Going back to devices, if I may, obviously these get-togethers are usually great for device launches and seeing shiny hardware. Did you actually get a look at the Samsung L870, Ewan?
Unfortunately, not it. The one person that I knew had one managed to get to the airport long before me. So we haven't yet had the hands-on, but we should be turning that out over in the next week or so. In the next, well, maybe a bit late, longer than that. But certainly from what we've seen, the 870 and Samsung as a whole is very promising towards the Series 60 form. And I do think that the announcement of their developer forum is probably one of the key announcements to come out of the S60 summit. You know, Samsung sell a lot of phones. Samsung are, you know, they do lots of handsets, they do lots of platforms, and they are seen to many as a mid-range manufacturer. But they're making an immense contribution to S60. Their developer forum is launching initially only with S60, even though they carry Windows Mobile and Linux as smartphones as anything else. And Rafe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was 50% of Samsung smartphones this year will be running S60.
That's right. In one of the seminars they said, you know, in terms of shipping smartphones in 2008 from Samsung, 50% of them will be S60. And there's a clear commitment that there's more S60 devices from Samsung on the way. And, you know, I think given the history of licensing S60, this is actually more significant than most people realize. And it's very good for S60, but it's also good for Nokia, because a lot of operators are quite rightly concerned that they don't want to be dependent on one manufacturer for one of their chosen platforms. So having S60 come in and actually producing some really interesting looking devices that have, you know, subtle differences to Nokia. I think, you know, the Samsung design DNA, as they refer to it, is different, and they do have different engineering approaches. I mean, of course, there are still, I think, problems to be worked out in some areas, perhaps with software compatibility, but I think we'll see Samsung doing a lot more in this area. And, you know, sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, Samsung weren't sulking then, because after our reviews of the i450 and the i550.
No, I think they realise that they've got work to do. And, you know, inevitably for people, especially listening to this podcast or reading all about Symbian, we are power users. And, you know, Samsung, I think, will take a little more time to work up to that. But in terms of the mass market, you know, I think we said the i450 is a great little device. You know, there's room for improvement, of course. But I think before it would have probably been fair to say that Samsung was sort of dipping its toes in the water and hadn't yet made a full commitment. But, you know, all the signs coming out of the summit in terms of, especially as Ewan says, the Samsung Developer Forum, which, given Samsung's traditional history of relationship with developers, i.e. not having one, that's a particularly important sign, because it's a very significant investment in the platform from their point of view. and as is all the devices coming out. And you know, the L870 is interesting because it runs S60 feature pack 2, and it's the first Samsung device to do so. And I'm sure we'll be seeing quite a few more in that family of feature pack 2 devices from Samsung in the next 6 months. So I suspect, you know, Samsung will increasingly be looking to compete with Nokia in terms of the number of S60 devices it releases. And I don't think that will necessarily happen this year, but look a few years down the road, and I can certainly see model numbers at least being in the same ballpark. You know, whether shipments reach the same, well, that's more open to debate. But people do realise it's still early on in the day. And although, you know, we haven't seen something like the i450 in the UK, it's apparently done very well in Italy and some of the other markets in Europe. And Samsung have been quite smart in the way they've deliberately targeted and worked with operators. As I say, especially as we're seeing operators standardise on S60, I think we'll see more of that. And I know Orange, for example, is going to be picking up some of the Samsung S60 phones for use in their signature acceleration programme. So it's something that we haven't really seen before, and it's easy to be optimistic about this, of course, but there were certainly all the indications out of the summit that, you know, Samsung is committed to S60 in a much stronger way. And of course, they're still going to be multi-platform, and one assumes they're putting stuff into Limo, into Android and Windows Mobile. But it's difficult to argue when you see them making that kind of investment into developer programs and making statements that, you know, 50% of their shipped smartphones are going to be running S60. And just the sheer number of people from Samsung at the summit, I think, was an indication of how seriously they take it. You know, three of the demo booths, which was actually more than any other device manufacturer, were from Samsung. And of course, you know, I'm sure S60 were stressing that and underlining that as much as possible, but I do generally believe that, you know, we're seeing a lot more from them. And of course, you know, these investments take time, and I suspect a clearer picture will emerge by this time next year.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Samsung also started to talk to people like us bloggers and the media. One thing they've been terrible at, apart from not talking to developers, is talking to the media and actually getting publicity and promotion for their devices. So hopefully that will come into place over the next year as well. I ought to apologise to the listeners for Rafe's croaky voice there. He's only had a few hours sleep since getting back from the summit at 3 a.m. in the morning, so it's good that he's even here at all. one item, a novelty item before we close, and also before we close, I'll mention what's coming up in the next month or so. But Ewan, what's all this about you skiving off the summit seminars and going off racing radio-controlled trucks?
It was an integral part of the summit. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It's a complete proving of how the different sensors and technologies that you have in Nokia handsets can be used for fun and exciting things. In this case, turning your handset into a remote control for a truck. So you lean your handset forward and backwards. It's like forward and backwards in your remote control stick. And yes, it is a bit of fun, as you all have seen. But there's a lot of different, we always talk about how interfaces can change, and this is one of them. Another very similar idea was from one of the university organizations that always come up with some amazing projects, which was called MobiToss. And the idea here was when you've taken a picture, say at a party or a large gathering, you can literally take it from your handset and throw it at the wall, and it will appear on the projector and spin around and have lots of interesting things done on it there. So, you know, how things go into the and how people use their handsets are changing a lot, and sometimes it does take those sort of quirky, strange demos to actually make it very easy to get over. I mean, I think we had something like 60 demos coming over in the hall, and we've got little notes and business cards in here just strewn around from Rafe and I. So we'll probably go into more depth of them and pick out some of our highlights in the next show.
Yeah, there's also some podcast interviews coming up that you and Rafe have done with various people at the summits. There's a lot more content that will appear on the site and probably in this podcast as well, and in the All About Symbian audio podcasts in general. It's more or less all the time we've got time for this particular podcast, but just to point to what's coming up in the near future. June looks like it's been quite an exciting month for people following shiny gadgets to lust after. Nokia's much rumoured, I'm sure they might be mentioning the model name after all this time, and people have actually put reviews up, for heaven's sake, on the web. Their E71 is going to be outed along with the E66.
Allegedly.
don't sue me, go and sue the Boy Genius Report over in America. And Sony Ericsson allegedly have got a new UIQ3 flagship at least one of those coming up as well.
So I was just going to say, I would advise people to watch the site carefully on June the 16th and June the 17th.
That's right. And of course, a week before that, at Apple's 3G iPhone, which I'm sure no one will miss because it'll be all over the news. But that's also well worth it. So June's looking pretty exciting. Ewan, just one last plug for you?
Yep. June also sees the BBC take over Alexandra Palace again for their yearly hacking event. Lots of BBC technology, mobile technology. Basically, you spend Saturday learning about new APIs and code. You spend Saturday night watching Doctor Who on a 300-foot wide screen that's not officially sanctioned at all. Code through the night, present all your applications up on the next day. Basically, it's a great developer event, not just for mobile, but I'm pretty sure, as always, there'll be a strong mobile contingent in there. Tickets are free at backstage.bbc.co.uk, and it's running a 21st and 22nd of June.
So you can run into Ewan there, and I'm sure he'll be spreading the All About Cynthian gospel as he goes, and Scottish cheer as well. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week, so it's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford.
And goodbye from me, Ewan Spence.
See you in the next one.